I don't know exactly, except that I remember as a child playing school, I always had to be the teacher or I didn't play. And I always wanted to teach school. And then I tell you, I met this one girl that lived near us at Ellsbury Street, and I conceived the idea that if she could go through public high school, normal school, and be a teacher, that I could.
Who was she? Is she older?
Oh yeah, much older. I wouldn't think I've even mentioned her name. And I decided when I finally did get into public high school that I was going through normal school to be a public school teacher. So that was the only reason. And after I did, of course, become a public school teacher and started teaching, I did love it. I loved the teaching.
Why did you like it?
Because I had the first grade. And I liked the smaller children, and I liked and loved the thrill of seeing them improve. They would come in, so absolutely indifferent and practically, as you might say, dead to everything. Yeah. And then you'd suddenly see them awaken, you know, and for maybe weeks they'd go on doing nothing, just sitting there, maybe even be annoying. And then all of a sudden, the light would come, and they'd start to go along with the rest. And by the end of the year, you'd have 50 or 60 of them. The beginning of the year, you'd have maybe one row of them doing the work. And by the end of the year, you'd have them down to within the last half dozen, all coming along with that work. And see them come along with their little hands and pencils and take each one and help them along. I loved the first grade work. I never left the first grade work.
How many years were you teaching first grade?
5 years.
And you were from about 18 to 23 then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I was 25 the day I was married. I taught up until I was 24. So I guess it was 19 when I came out of
where were you teaching?
Normal school. Down at 16th and Porter.
Is that South Philadelphia Public?
South Philadelphia Public School, one of the biggest public schools down there.
How many did you have in a grade?
We had so many there that there were two of us in one room. One teacher teaching from 9 to 12 and the other teacher from 12:30 to 3:30. And then we had to help each other. And we had grades between 50 and 60 each. But there were so many children that we had to divide them up into two grades, and two teachers used one room.
Not teach at the same time.
Well, helping out. Uh-huh. Because in first grade, there's a lot of individual work to do. Uh-huh. I mean, with spelling and the reading and all that's individual.
Well, is that where you started getting children to recite poems and play in piano for them? Did you
do
that?
Oh, no. No, because they're first grade. Uh-huh. Oh, no, you couldn't do anything with them there. I only started that with my own.
Well, did you keep teaching right up to the very month you got married?
Till the very week I got married, yeah. Left on a Friday and probably got married the following Thursday.
Were you supporting your mother then?
Yes. Just mother and I then.
So then it really developed that by the time you got finished high school and got started in normal school, there wasn't any more use of thinking about being a nun.
No, that became then my object then became get finished and get teaching school so I could help my mother. My father had been sick for so long that most of what he had been used up. Uh-huh. And
you were finished high school, were you finished high school when he died?
Oh, I was finished normal school. I had finished 1 year of teaching. So it was 1908 when he died.
It was a 3-year normal school?
Two.
Two. And 4-year high school?
Yeah.
Well, it was during normal school that you met Pop, wasn't it?
No. It was the...
During teaching?
While I was teaching school that I met Pop.
But you knew
But I knew the family and his mother long before I knew him.
And your mother knew his mother?
Yes, my mother knew his mother, and they were good friends.
Well, was his dad really active as a roofer?
Yes. He had a very active business for years. This one old man, Charlie, that works for him, said Charlie, I think, worked for him for something like 40 years.
Was his father in the business before him?
No.
He just went in on it himself.
But he made a big business out of it, and he made plenty of money. I mean, well, I say plenty of money, and money enough for them to get along on.
Well, was that the contact you think maybe your mother got to know the family on roofing?
No, my mother and Mrs. McSorley just had several friends in common. I remember there was a Mrs. Call was one of them.
Yeah.
And somebody else, I forget her name, that used to be around St. Paul's.
They met at church, then, probably.
Yes, probably met at church.
Well, was Mrs. McSorley directly from Ireland, too?
No, not
she
at all.
She was born here.
Oh, yes, she was born here.
Wasn't any connection that
way? No, there was no. Mrs. McSorley's family was Quinn. And Quinn was the lawyer. I forget his first name now, but he was a very prominent lawyer here in Philadelphia. And he has a... Well, they're all pretty well gone now, but he had three girls and a boy. Charlie Quinn was his name, a very prominent lawyer. And that was her family. No, she never... she was all from Philadelphia all the time. I can remember my mother telling about the story of when she came from here, from Baltimore, to marry my father. And of course, she was a very strong temperance woman. And she belonged to... she joined the Temperance Society up at St. Paul's Church. And when came time for her to get married, the priest who was the pastor up there was so strong temperance that when he found out she was going to marry a man that had a saloon, that he put her out of the Temperance Association and wouldn't let her belong any longer. And of course she was heartbroken about the thing, about this man, about this priest acting that way. And after they were married, my father took a pew in church, which in those days was the thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, each one should pay their own pew rent and have their own pew. And he took a pew in church and paid the pew rent for mother and himself to have this pew in church. And when this priest put her out of the Temperance Society, she was very much annoyed about it. But I can remember her telling the story of him getting up on the altar and saying that any of these men who made their money by the vices of others, he wanted none of their money. So any of them that had pews and paid pew rent could please hand their names in and relinquish the pews. And of course my mother was terribly humiliated and crestfallen, you know, that my father had to give up the pew and to send her name in as one that was living by this saloon keeping. And she never did like it, you know, and she always sort of just tolerated it. But poor father, he made life miserable for her by making a public announcement like that from the altar.
But it seemed that she was always fairly pious then. She was...
My mother was always very pious, but she she was the type that Father Donovan described as innately aristocratic. She had very little education.
She had that school, the Two Bell School.
Yes. She had very little education except what she acquired herself. And she had very little in the way of training except what she acquired herself, because her mother had died years before she was of any age.
Maybe that's why she wanted to give you so much extra.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And yet there was something innately about her that demanded respect and showed dignity.
She appreciated the finer things.
Yes.
It might have been even the atmosphere of the saloon that made her anxious to get the finer things in for you.
That probably was the story.
And it might also be the reason for her appreciation of the aristocratic side of life, of the finer things of life, because she wanted to keep Pat up. I mean, she wanted to bring him to the appreciation of it and discourage his interest in the saloon, maybe.
Something to that effect. I know Aunt Mary used to always say, Winnie will never have to worry about Rita. She'll always pick for a husband or for companions those that are a few classes higher than herself. That was Aunt Mary's way of putting it.
She's a half-sister of Granny.
She's my father's sister.
Oh, she's a Cosgrove.
Cosgrove. Aunt Mary Cosgrove.
Nice.
Aunt Mary was another one, you know, that was prim and old maidish in a way, but old maidish in a very sweet, gentle way that she developed herself.
She never married, did she?
She never married, but she developed herself by reading and by attending concerts and by doing the things that bring out the little finer parts of your character.
Did she work as a maid like Aunt Sally?
Yes.
Most of her life?
When they first came out here from Ireland, yes. Sure they did.
Then later on she just helped.
Later on she became complete housekeeper of this big establishment.
Oh, I see.
And had the burden of the whole thing.
As I remember here, she wasn't working then in her old age.
Oh, no. She had given up and come to live with Granny.
She was a big help here, too, wasn't she?
Oh, yes. Big help, with the children particularly.
She was a great worker.
Because she loved children, and she loved doing for them.
Yeah, I remember her well enough. I remember the night she died.
Yes.
I remember her interest in the children. She was much more liked by the children than Annie Fleming.
Well, Annie Fleming was more commercial. See, Annie was a dressmaker and was out in the world and was had these contacts that she had to keep up and had to keep going with the crowd that she had to work with. Aunt Mary was here, settled here, contented, and happy to live here with us. And she could take the time and put in the time and the energy on the children and loving them and wanting to have them.
How many years did she live with us?
Aunt Mary?
Yes.
About 12.
I guess I was about 12 when